Let's pray to each prepare ourselves before we study God's Word. While I give you a moment of silence to pray, let me suggest you tell God that you want to respond well to what He shows you today. Lord Jesus, hopefully it's not just today, but every day that we look to You and praise You and want to glorify You. And so, God, I pray that You would use today to help us to learn more about our Lord Jesus so that we may trust Him more. I pray these things in Your name. Amen. Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which came about 3 days after He died on a cross, which was to provide forgiveness for our sins. But today, we're going to talk about us being resurrected from the dead. The Bible teaches that Jesus was the first to raise from the dead and go into heaven, but all who are in Christ will be raised to eternal life. We're going to study a passage in the Gospel of John that foreshadows our resurrection. But so that we understand how end-time resurrection will work, I want to start by painting a picture for you from a different passage, which is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 to 17. It reads, "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For if we say to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord." So that's the basis for what I'm about to illustrate for you. This is going to represent Jesus. And the bag is going to represent his body. The bags are going to represent bodies generally. So 3 days after he went in the grave, right? He died, he went in the grave. 3 days later, he rose. And he appeared to many of his disciples over some period of time, and he ascended to heaven. So these two balloons are going to represent Christ trusters. And another one, okay? So this one is alive, okay, here on earth. This one is dead. So according to what our passage said, his body comes off. He goes to be with Jesus. His spirit goes to be with Jesus, okay? This one's an alive Christian. The time of the resurrection for Christ trusters is when Jesus comes again. It said the Lord Jesus will come down from heaven. He's going to bring with Him the souls of those Christ trusters who have already, He said, fallen asleep, which I will explain why He uses that terminology later on. Fallen asleep. So the dead in Christ will rise first. So that means their bodies. They will get new bodies. Sorry, I can't send his body up to him. I wish I had that trick in my bag, but I don't. So he gets his new body, still with Jesus. Then the Christ trusters who are still alive when Christ comes down will rise. So that means they get new bodies. And it says, we will meet the Lord in the air. We will meet the Lord in the air, so we shall always be with the Lord. Amen. Now, this has ramifications for what we do now in this life. First, to be one of those who will meet the Lord in the air and always be with the Lord, we must believe in the Lord Jesus during this life. We don't get an after chance. It's what we do during this life. What do we have to believe? We'll talk about that. Second, if we believe in the Lord Jesus, looking forward to resurrection should affect how we think and act now, during this life. It should affect how we think and act toward difficulties in this life. It should affect how we think and act toward death. Please open your Bible to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 11 in the Gospel of John. We're going to study through an event. Spoiler alert, I'm going to tell you the end right at the beginning, because it will help us to have perspective as we study the parts of the event. A man named Lazarus was sick, and his two sisters called Jesus because they know that he can heal. And so presumably they think he'll heal their brother if they call him. Heal Lazarus. And so Lazarus died because Jesus didn't come right away on purpose. And they put Lazarus in a tomb. And the sisters were upset by the time Jesus got there because their brother had died. But then Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, raised him from the dead. And many of the bystanders who saw what had happened believed in Jesus. The raising of Lazarus helped them believe in Jesus. And it can help us believe in who Jesus is. Or I interchange the words believe and trust. We trust facts are true about Jesus, and we trust the person of Jesus. And so this can help us to believe who Jesus is and believe that he will resurrect us at the end of time to eternal life. So let's go through this event in detail. John chapter 11, look at verses 1 through 6 while I read. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to be for death, but rather for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 days longer in the place he was. That's curious. So Lazarus passing was for the glory of God, the glory of the Son of God, who is Jesus. Jesus was going to raise Lazarus so that those who were learning about Jesus would believe in him. We're going to see as we read on in the passage that even his disciples, the people who are following around learning from him, needed to believe in him. It's possible to have an affection toward Jesus, to be learning about Jesus, and yet not have believed in him, not have trusted fully in who he is yet. That seemed to be the case with the disciples that were following him around. Now, we don't get to see the event like they did, but this event and others like it are recorded in the Bible to help us believe. The Bible has been proven to be a historically accurate document, and so there is every reason to trust that these are not just stories, but these are actual events. And so reading about these events can help us believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Now, like I said, Jesus had healed many people on different occasions. On this occasion, rather than Jesus healing Lazarus, it was better, in God's perfect wisdom, to allow Lazarus to die and raise him from the dead. It was going to be to the glory of God, and it was actually for the good of all the people around because they would believe. For us, sometimes God might heal an illness. Sometimes God may take away a problem that we have, but often he doesn't. We need to trust God in His perfect wisdom. When He allows bad things to happen, when He allows bad things to remain in our lives, we need to trust His perfect wisdom. And ultimately, that it's for His glory. Because when the end time resurrection happens and we get perfect bodies, which will never be sick again, which will never die again, when we go to heaven, when everything will be perfect, there will be no more problems or crying or pain, maybe we will be more in awe of the Lord because we went through those difficulties. Because of the problems, because of the pain, because of death, maybe we'll appreciate resurrection more, and therefore we'll appreciate what the Lord has done more, and thus it will be more to the glory of the Lord. Lazarus was loved by Jesus. It said it twice, that he was loved by Jesus, and Lazarus' sisters were loved by Jesus, and yet he let them go through the suffering of this event. Some think it shows lack of love by the Lord when He allows us to go through suffering. Have you ever heard that from someone? Maybe you've even thought that Lord, You must not love us because You're letting this happen. But that is our limited perspective. Jesus loved Lazarus and yet let him die. Jesus loved His sisters and yet let them go through the suffering of Him dying. Because Him dying and raising was for the greater glory of Jesus, and it was for the good of the people who were observing it. Mary and Martha couldn't see that at the moment, could they? We're going to see them both say, Jesus, if You would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And so Him allowing bad stuff to happen in this life, it seems, will be to the Lord's greater glory when He resurrects us. We need to trust that the way God, the all-knowing, all-wise God, has things planned is the best way. Trust that it's better than what we think might be the right way to do something in any given situation. When we argue with God, it shows our lack of trust. Not that we don't believe in Jesus, but we need to grow in our ongoing trust of Him. See, the trust that gets us salvation, that initial trust in Jesus, the nature of it should be that it's ongoing. And so we keep trusting Him as life keeps coming at us, including the difficulties. Mary and Martha, we're going to see, especially Martha, had incredible trust in who Jesus was and that they were going to be resurrected at the end of time. She believed those things. And yet she needed to grow in her ongoing daily trust of how God does things, to let Him do things His way. And we all need to grow in that ongoing trust. Look at verses 7 through 10 while I read. Then after this, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to Him, "Teacher, the Jews were just now seeking to stone You, and You're going to go there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, but he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." Walking in the day versus walking at night is a metaphor for this life. And the disciples were worried that Jesus might get killed if they went to Judea, which was near Jerusalem. Many think that Jesus was probably implying by His answer that it wasn't time for His life to be over yet, that it was still daytime, meaning He was still supposed to be living, and they couldn't kill Him until it was the right time, nighttime. But in typical Jesus fashion, there was probably more going on here. There was a lesson that was for His disciples, and it's for us. As long as we are alive here on the earth, it's our daytime. And while we are alive, if we keep our focus on the light of the world, which is Jesus, we trust Him, we will not stumble. If you keep trusting Jesus as long as you're here on this earth, you will not stumble. What might stumbling look like? It could look like getting mad at God because He's allowed something in your life, something bad, even not following Jesus because of something that has happened in your life. Even in troubles, we don't stumble if we trust Jesus. We accept it all as part of His greater plan, that He is wiser than us. We need to grow in that trust. Walking in the night and in darkness is symbolic of not trusting God. If someone is walking through this life not trusting God, not trusting His wisdom, when bad stuff happens to them, they may stumble, get mad at God, even hate God, and keep moving away from Him instead of moving toward Him. If we really trust the Lord, it shouldn't be just because we want to go to heaven. We should trust Him and that He is God and that He knows best in everything. Also, if we trust Him, we want Him to be glorified. If that involves some difficulties in life, we can trust Him through that and not stumble, not get mad at Him, not hate Him, not move away from Him, but keep trusting Him, walking with Him through the difficulties, because He promises us that He will be with us always. And He will walk through those things with us if we will just hold on to Him. Additionally, because of our trust in Him, we always know that there will be a day when all those troubles will end. The day that we are resurrected and we go to heaven. Knowing that should be a great consolation to us while we are going through these difficulties. I think about being resurrected often. I wouldn't say every day, but many times during the week, but I never think about it more pointedly than when I'm going through something difficult, when my body hurts or when something bad happens, and I just think, Jesus, I can't wait until You come and put an end to all this. And that's exactly right. That's exactly how we should be thinking. Jesus is coming back someday, and no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm suffering, He's going to put an end to it. Amen? Look at verses 11 through 16 while I read. This He said, and after that He said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. The disciples then said to Him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought He was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Therefore Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, so that we may die with him. So Jesus said he's fallen asleep. This is a euphemism that is used in the New Testament that is symbolic of the death of those who trust Jesus. It's probably used for more than one reason. One of the reasons is based on what Jesus said right here. A person who has literally fallen asleep will wake up and get up. And so that's a picture of someone who has died who trusts Jesus, because we are going to get up in the resurrection. Like that. There's another reason I think that sleeping is used instead of death for those who trust Christ. This Greek word that is translated as death, there's a few of them, but the one that's most common is thanatos. And thanatos, the root meaning of it, is separated. And so that word is used of being separated from God, as in spiritual death. And so in the New Testament, they seem to shy away from using the word death for Christ trusters, because we are not separated from God. We are not dead spiritually. And so instead, there's this often euphemism of fallen asleep. As was often the case, the disciples didn't understand Jesus' symbolic language. So they said, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll recover. And I love that, because even though they misunderstood, they're being prophetic, because Lazarus would indeed recover when Jesus raised him from the dead. Now, let's remember the conversation that they were having that started this whole thing. The disciples were telling Jesus, not to go to Judea because the Jews were seeking to stone him. And so Thomas said to the disciples after Jesus spoke all this, well, let's all go so that we may die with him. We may go, yep, that's Thomas, that skeptic. But I actually think Thomas is a great one to model ourselves after here. Listen, he didn't understand, but he was willing to follow Jesus anyway. Even to death. Let me say that again. He didn't understand what was going on in their lives, but he was willing to follow Jesus anyway. When we don't understand what we're going through in this life, when we think there may be a bad outcome and we don't like it, we should just purpose to keep following Jesus anyway and trust him through it. Look at verses 17 to 27 while I read. So when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who comes into the world. So Martha had evidently spent some time learning from Jesus. She knew about this end time resurrection that I demonstrated with the balloons at the beginning of service, that those who trust in Jesus would be resurrected to eternal life. And Jesus affirmed that her belief in that was right. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. That means it's only in believing in Jesus that a person gets resurrected to life. He is the resurrection and the life. And anyone who believes in Jesus will live even if he dies. So everyone who believes in Jesus will live again. Even if your body dies before Jesus comes again, you will live. And everyone who lives and believes in Jesus will never die. This probably refers to the fact that if you believe in Jesus, you never die spiritually. Remember I said that word death, thanatos, means separated from God? That's this word, thanatos, here. He says you will never die. If you believe in Jesus, you'll never be separated from God. The moment you believe in him, you're with him in presence here on earth. And when you die, you go to be with him. Your soul goes to be with him in heaven. And when he comes back again and resurrects your body, you'll go to be with him. You never die. You will never be away from the Lord Jesus ever if you trust him. And Jesus asked Martha, do you believe this? And I ask you, do you believe this? Martha's response was tremendous. Notice she didn't just affirm her belief in resurrection. She speaks of who she believes Jesus is. It is in Jesus that we get resurrection. And so it's important who we believe that he is. The truths that we trust about who he is. It's not just about wanting to go to heaven. She said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who comes into the world. Let me explain each of the pieces of what she said and ask yourself, as I do this briefly, do you believe these things about Jesus? She said, yes, Lord. Jesus is Lord. He's the master of the universe, but he asks us to recognize that he's our master, Lord. The Christ. This isn't his last name. This is a title. The Jews expected a Savior to come out of heaven from God, the Christ. Do you believe that Jesus is the only Savior from God? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Part of being the Son of God is that He is God. That's why Martha said, He who comes into the world. The Son of God was in heaven and He came into the world born as the human Jesus. Do you believe these things about Jesus? Is He your Lord? Is He the Son of God? Is He the one who has come from God, who is God, come into the world, your Savior? Trusting these things are true about who Jesus is part of believing in Jesus. And remember, believing in Jesus is the only way to get resurrected to eternal life. Just wanting heaven is not enough to get to heaven. We have to believe, we have to trust that these things are true about Jesus. We need to trust the person of Jesus to go to heaven, which is eternal life. Look at verses 28 through 35 while I read. When Martha had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. When the Jews who were with Mary in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. It seems that even though Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he was sad over Mary's sadness from losing her brother. He may have also been sad because death is still an enemy. 1 Corinthians 15, in talking about resurrection, actually, it says, the last enemy that will be abolished is death. So until we get resurrected, enemy is still a death, and death is still an enemy, and it's sad. And so when people we love die, it's right for us to be sad. Now, we shouldn't grieve the same way over a Christian brother who dies as the way that people grieve over somebody who doesn't trust Christ. Because we know those who die in Jesus, their souls go to be with Jesus immediately. And at the end of time, death will be completely defeated in the resurrection of us in Christ. But in the meantime, death is still sad. Look at verses 38 through 45 while I read. So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and there was a stone laying against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he's been in there 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to Mary and saw what happened, what Jesus had done, believed in Jesus. Lazarus being raised was to help them understand who Jesus was and help them believe in Jesus. And it worked. As I said before, even though we didn't get to see that event that they saw, recording it should help us believe in Jesus. He is the Son of God. He came the first time to provide and to offer salvation to us. When He comes again, He will resurrect the dead who believe in Him to eternal life. Jesus has the power to raise the dead. Lazarus raised back to this early life, and it's a picture of what will happen for us at the end of time if we trust Jesus. When He raises those who believe in Him, at the end of time, it will be to eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15 teaches that our resurrected bodies will be imperishable, glorious, powerful, spiritual bodies. That is something to really look forward to for all of us who trust Jesus, who is the Son of God, who came into the world to save us. Even while we're struggling through the difficulties that happen in this life, we should really look forward to the resurrection that's to come for us who trust Jesus. Amen? Let's pray to apply what we learned today. Some of you here may have been calling yourself a Christian, but you don't trust the Lord Jesus in the ways that we talked about today, the ways that we saw in the text today. Will you trust Him as your Lord, your Master? Will you believe that He is the Son of God? Will you believe that He is the only way that you can be saved from your sins and get eternal life? Will you believe that He is the only way that you will be resurrected and go to heaven? If you're believing any of that for the first time, would you tell Him? He hears you. He's alive in heaven. He's overseeing the events of the earth, and He can hear even the thoughts in your head. Would you tell Jesus that you trust Him? And if you trust the Lord Jesus, whether it's been for 2 seconds or for 50 years, prayerfully think for a moment. How should resurrection affect how you think and act toward difficulties in your life? And think, and prayerfully think, how should resurrection affect the way that you think about death and act toward the death of others? Will you thank God that Jesus came to save us, provide us eternal life? And will you tell Him that you want to trust Him more every day that you're here on earth? Lord Jesus, thank You that You left Your place in heaven, came here to earth to die, to pay for our sins, so that we may have eternal life with You. Jesus, I pray that we would not only trust that, but we would trust You every day forward, trust You more every day forward, so that every day we would live looking to You, knowing that You've got the best plan, and waiting to be with You, we would rejoice for what is coming for us in the resurrection. And it's in Jesus' precious name I pray these things. All those who agreed said, Amen.